Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Wednesday, the ninth day of the month of Kislev. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program today at 5 p.m. Eastern. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Elchanan Shas of Beis Knesset LA in Los Angeles, California, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Shaf slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Shaf to learn more about his wonderful community in Los Angeles. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, the Chavod. With great honor, Rabbi Shaf.
Wow, Rabbi Herman, thank you so much for that magnificent introduction. And it's such an honor to be here together with everyone. In the Parsha this week, there's a magnificent vision that Yaakov Avinu has. He has a dream, Vayachalom, and he sees in his dream, a ladder. And it says about the ladder in the Pasuk that Malachei Elokim, angels of God, Olim V'yordim Bo, we're going up and down it. Now, Hebrew is an interesting language. The word Bo really means him, going up and down him, because every item is gendered in Hebrew. And so really him means the ladder. It means it. That's how it should be translated normatively into English. But the Medrash Rabbah, a very important Medrash Rabbah. The Midrash is essentially contemporary with the rabbis of the Talmud, quoting their interpretations based upon the oral traditions. So the Midrash Rabbah tells us that Olin V'yordin Bo, the angels going up and down him, actually means that they were going up and down Jacob, going up and down Yaakov. And boy, is that a perplexing thing to say. I mean, what could that mean? Rabbi Leib HaKohen in his Shev Shmaitza, a very important work that's studied in the yeshivas, has a magnificent introduction. And in the introduction, he offers an interpretation of what this midrash means. And he tells us that when a human being does things, whether good or bad, they have cosmic influence. And for that reason, we need to know that angels, the forces that exist in this world, are either elevated or lowered based upon that. He says we have these other sources in our tradition which tell us angels were worried when humanity was created. Angels were disappointed that God was going to give the human beings the Torah. Ultimately, they were happy when it happened. And he wonders, why should angels care? But he explains that was what Yaakov was being taught, that Malachei Elokim, even angels of God, Olim V'yordim Bo, are either elevated or taken down by the behaviors of human beings. There's a very clear lesson to us. The universe is profoundly affected by our personal choices, even behind closed doors. And I think this is an important thing to consider during the coronavirus and other times. I mean, maybe you can't make it to shul sometimes. Maybe there are things we've had to do in private. But actions done in private, in one's own heart, in one's own home that no one else ever sees, are the most profoundly influential actions in the world. It's not merely that they are also important. You see, when a person engages in an intimate relationship between him and God, between her and God, such a person is really doing something incredibly powerful. The moment something is public or communal, it takes a little bit of that intimacy away. And for that reason, there is something so special about the power of human action, even when it's not so glitzy and not so public. It says in the beginning of our parsha that Yetzias Tzadik Min HaMakom Oser Roshem, when a righteous person leaves a town, it makes an impact on that town. The town is less than it was because the righteous person left. Its glow has dimmed a bit. That's what we're taught. And it's interesting that we're taught it about Yaakov Avinu, about Jacob, who left a town where he, according to our tradition, was sitting and studying Torah for many years. You see, the Torah might have taught us this about Avraham or Yitzchak, who were more public figures at that stage in their life than Yaakov, who was a private man studying Torah. But the answer is behind closed doors, doing something small that is influential. And it's not that we're being taught this about Yaakov so that we learn he's also influential, but rather to be Jewish people need to know that even when something is private and small, it's not also important. That is important. That's what life is. The choices you make in your own heart and in your own mind, those are things that truly influence the world in a powerful and enormous way. The angels of God go up and down based upon the ladder that is the human being. Okay, we now have the opportunity to say Tehillim. We will begin with Psalm 23, Tehillim Perek Chaf Gimel. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai ro'i lo echsor. Bin os deshe yarbiteni, almei menuchos yidahaleni. Nafshi yeshovev, yadcheni v'magle tzedek lema'an shema. Gam ki eilech begei tzalmaves lo ira ra ki ata imadi shiftecha u'mishantecha heima yidahamuni. Ta'aroch lefanai shulchan neged tzoriroi dishanta, Vashemen Roshi Kosi Rivaya Ah Tov Vachesed Yirdifuni Kol Yemei Chayoi Vishavti Beves Adonai Laorech Yamim. We will now recite Tehillim 121, Perakuf Chaf Alas. Shir Lama Alos Esa Einai El Heharim Me Ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Meim Adonai Osei Shamayim Vaaretz Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shamrecha. Hine, lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha, al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakecha, v'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikol ra yishmar es nafshecha. Adonai yishmar feischa uvoecha me'ata ve'ad olam. We will now say Tehillim 130, Perek Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alos mima'amakim kurasicha Adonai. Adonai Shim'a v'koli tihiyena oznecha kashivos l'kol pachanunoi im avonos tishmar ya. Adonai miya amad. Ki imcha hasolicha l'ma'an tivarei ki visi Adonai kivsa nafshi v'lidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim l'boker shomrim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fidus. V'hu yifteh Es Yisrael Mikol Avonoson. We'll now recite the Misha Berach, the prayer for those who are ill. When I pause, please insert the name of the person if you would like to pray for a specific person. Misha Berach Avosenu Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov Moshe Aharon David U'Shlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirape Es Hacholim. Bavur shakulanu mismalim ba'avuram. Bischarzeh ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu yimalei rachamim aleihem l'hachalimam ul'raposam ul'hachazikam ul'hachayosam v'yishlach lahem refuah shalema min ha-shamayim refuah sa-nefesh u'refuah sa-guf hashta ba'agola u'vizman kariv v'nomar amen. Acheinu kol beis Yisrael ha-nesunim ba-tzora u'va-shivya ha-omdim bein bayam u'vein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzeyem mitzara l'ravacha, u'me'afela l'ora u'mishiyabud v'geula hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariz, namar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schatz. As we transition into the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank you for asking that. On the one hand, Baruch Hashem, we are absolutely fantastic in us, myself and my family, and even as a whole, as a community, you know, it's always important to look at the positive. And at the same time, I find that it's really necessary to empathize with some of those who are suffering, both financially and perhaps health-wise. Some people are simply trapped at home because they're so immunocompromised. And So Baruch Hashem, for me, it's good, but that's easy to say for ourselves, and it's always important. I just share with you a cute anecdote that it's said over in the name of a few of the Hasidic Rebbes. I saw it from the Shin of a Rebbe, that they asked him, they said, Rabbi, you said every attitude in the world can be used in a positive way. What about the attitude of denying the existence of God, of being a kofer, an apikoros? You know, how can you use that attitude in a good way? He said, when a poor man knocks on your door, you could be tempted to say, well, you know, if God wanted him to be rich, he'd make him rich. I have deep belief in God. He said, one almost has to act as though they have no faith in God in that moment and say, it's my responsibility to fix the ills of the world. So I'm often feeling this dichotomy of, on the one hand, you know, we have to be grateful for things, but when looking at others and our friends, we have to realize that not everything is okay, and maybe we can help.
Certainly a balance without a question. To get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, with your shul, would it be possible to give us a brief overview?
Absolutely. My shul is called Beis Knesset of Los Angeles. It's usually called BKLA in the neighborhood. And we are in the Pico Robertson area of Los Angeles. About 7.5 years ago, we opened the shul pretty far down Pico. I believe that presently in our neighborhood is the most eastward shul. And at the time, it seemed like it was much too far. Jews were just kind of starting to spread further into that neighborhood. Now it's become very much a part of, you know, as the communities shift, as things go. It's known to be a very warm and friendly shul. I often, you know, exhort our community and say, listen, if you go to Kiddush now and you see anyone you don't recognize, make sure to go over to them. We have a policy that if you find someone sitting in your seat in shul, you come in a few minutes late and someone's in your seat, you need to go and get them a chumash. You know, so like it's a tremendous focus on it being a place where people can belong and feel comfortable. It's a somewhat diverse crowd, which is lovely. We have people that are, you know, further in one direction religiously and people that are coming from another background. It's a very positive place. We do a lot of singing. We have fantastic, you know, big sit-down kiddushes that are delicious and fun. And that's our shul.
Sounds amazing. With the world changing so much as a result of the pandemic, we're really seeing just incredible change. Innovation, creativity. What communal changes do you anticipate for yours and perhaps the broader Jewish community?
What a good question. I'm so wary of predicting something. You know, it's so hard to make any predictions. And I mean, one thing that seems absolutely clear to me is that Zoom learning has opened up a whole world for us. So many people may have a hard time getting out to go to a Torah class. But to sit down at your computer for half an hour, which maybe you wouldn't drive somewhere for that, and learn a piece of Gemara for half an hour a couple times a week, I'm finding that that's something that people are much more capable of doing. And this was something that was much further from most people's comfort zones. But now that it's become sort of a forced part of our lives, so I think that's actually a tremendous, wonderful thing. It cannot replace the critical human connections of school and shul and all the things, but it can certainly enhance those in some way, and I think that that's a wonderful thing. I also think that for our communities, it's going to allow people to perhaps live in places, whether it's Eretz Yisrael or you know, other Torah communities. So many more people will be able to commute virtually to work. So I think these are going to be changes in our community that we're really going to notice. I could tell you personally, I am not looking for any change, except for the fact that I would love to go back to how things were. And I think that perhaps that's the one change that will be most appreciated, is going back to how things were, that we can be together, we can hug and kiss each other, we can just kind of, you know, take off our masks at some point. And perhaps the one change that will come from that is, for a lifetime, our generation will deeply appreciate things that we took for granted. You know, a handshake, a hug, sitting close to other people, dancing together. And I'm certainly hoping that time comes very soon.
We certainly hope so. And last question for you, briefly, but what motivated and drove you and guided you to go into the rabbinate, to become a pulpit rabbi?
Oh, boy. That's a very hard question, and there isn't really an answer, because like all other human beings, all of my decisions are so complex and mixed with so many things, it's so hard to even be honest with myself and know what the one thing is. But I can pick one thing. I can pick one thing that really does speak to me and did speak to me, and that is I'm very passionate about creating emotional and physical space where people can belong. Oftentimes, people can feel like outsiders. You meet somebody, I meet often, a young man who's, grew up in maybe an observant environment, but he's not really connected. And almost universally, the person will say, I never really felt like I fit in. I always kind of felt like an outsider, like I wasn't one of the people. I would sit in shul, I didn't. And so to me, creating a space, emotionally, a space of Torah and mitzvos, and that's embracing. It stands for something that you can buy into, that you can connect to, that you can believe in. It's not about politics. It's not about sports. I mean, oftentimes those are things that people will search for, but I think that those can ultimately be empty when we compare them with the truest meaning of Torah. And I think that creating a shul, which it's not just that it's friendly on the outside, but that hopefully it's a community where children and adults and, where they can truly belong. To me, it's very important to know the name of every kid who comes to the shul. Baruch Hashem, in our groups on Shabbos, we have 70 kids in our 3 or 4 groups that we have. But to know the names of every child and let them know you belong here. And you can run around this shul like you can run around your house. Is so critical, both for young children all the way through adults. And I think that turning our community in that direction is one reason that I felt that, of all the different ways that a person could perhaps serve as a rabbi, a pulpit would be an opportunity to build such a space. It's something that I'm super passionate about, and have a wonderful rebbetzin and a wonderful wife who's very, very much gives off that flavor and is great at that and is devoted to it as well. And Baruch Hashem, I hope that together we will be able to do so for many years for many people.
Amen, amen. Beautiful response here. Your Balabatan, your families are in the community are certainly fortunate to have you and the Rebbetzin as their rabbinic and leadership. Rabbi Schaff, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. May the Rabboni Sheolam, the Master of the World, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Thursday, Thanksgiving, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Eliezer Zaytuneh of the Congregation B'nai Shlomo in Brooklyn, New York. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe